Notoriously, we don't know a great deal for certain about Sir David. How many sermons begin with words like that? We celebrate a saint whose name is familiar, and the preacher apologetically remarks that actually we don't know very much about him or her. Should we worry about that? I don't think that we should. Because what we know about St. David, about so many other figures, especially among our saints of Wales, what we know is that they made the church possible here. And perhaps that's all we need to know about a holy life, that it's one which makes the church possible. If it hadn't been for these lives, lived in straitened circumstances, in struggle and obscurity, we wouldn't be here. Whatever has to be said about the life of a David, a Tyler, a Padan, a Dovrig, what we know is that if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here. And in the epistle today, we caught a glimpse of some of what that might mean in practice. What has St. Paul done for and with the Christians in Thessalonica? Well, he's worked very hard, he says, day and night. He struggled, not exactly not to offend anyone, but he struggled not to get in anybody's way. That is, not to intrude himself between people and God. He has struggled to make the church possible. Because he has struggled to let people through to God. And the saint, whether remembered or not, whether we know the details of their lives or not, the saint has to be a person who is busily occupied in getting out of the way. Our egos are such that even as Christians, we love to stand in God's light. It's wonderful to preach the gospel of Christ. It's even more wonderful for most of us if we can somehow feel a sense of personal satisfaction about it. And so strong is that temptation that we should feel a personal satisfaction about it that we are inclined to associate in other people's minds their reaction to God with their reaction to us. If you don't like us, you don't like God. That has been, sadly, one of the messages that the church has given off pretty regularly in its 20 centuries of existence. If you don't like us, you don't like God. And if you don't like us, God doesn't like you. But meanwhile, the saints get on with it by getting out of the way. The saints struggle not to get in God's light. When they feel somehow people's faith is getting stuck onto them, not onto God, they run for all they're worth. They try and unscramble the mess that they've made and start again. The saints are determined that the faith of the church will stand on something far more solid, far more lasting than this or that personality. This or that great preacher, this or that great teacher, this or that exemplary life. And they do that because they know themselves, their own profound poverty. They know their need of God. They know that all they can ever do is, as St. Paul reminds us again and again, to pass on treasure in earthen pots. Not only earthen, but frequently cracked as well, both in the literal and, I suspect, in the metaphorical sense of the word. How can man preach thy eternal word? Says George Herbert in one of his poems. He is a brittle, crazy glass. A wonderful picture of uneven, blotchy glass through which the light comes askew. And yet somehow, in light and colour, something comes through. It comes through as we seek to follow what Christ lays upon all of us in today's Gospel. Let go. Pick up the cross. Pick up your cross. The cross of the everyday commitments, the everyday demands in which you meet God. Pick up the cross of Christ. Pick up the triumphant assurance that God has given you all you need and will give you all you need for your life and your healing. Let go of your attempts to make yourself wise, holy, and complete. And just get on with it and get out of the way. It doesn't mean deliberately despising and running down yourself. It does mean a daily dose of realism. What does the world need for its healing and its health? Well, not you, not me, but ourselves, but endless, healing, resourceful, imaginative love, poured out from the source of all things, made flesh and blood in Jesus Christ, overflowing in the Holy Spirit. That is what the world needs. And that is what makes the church possible, today, tomorrow, and forever. And as long as God is that God, the church will be that church. Let's not have any doubt or uncertainty about that. In the short term, the church may seem deeply unpromising in any number of ways to many of us. The church may disappoint. And yet, God remains the God he has always been. And the church will be possible, and be actual, and live, and rejoice, just to the extent that we can set aside all those boring egos, all those little dramas, all those attempts that we all make to latch the grace of God onto whether people like us and like the church or not. It's probably projecting a great deal onto St. David to imagine him doing all this and thinking all this. And yet, if he hadn't been that sort of person, this place would not have arisen around his memory. David got out of the way and got on with it. Day by day, he lived out repentance. Not neurotic self-castigation, but the daily turning to the source of life, the daily acknowledgement of his need, his poverty, and his hunger. He got on with it, and so the church became possible. Today, in the calendar of the Church of England, we remember somebody that we know a great deal about, Archbishop Oscar Romero. Shut down by agents of the government in El Salvador a couple of decades ago. A martyr, a saint, a teacher, a witness. Shot down in cold blood at the altar after he had challenged the government, after he had begged the government to cease the violence that they were sponsoring, the death squads, the abductions. He knew the risks he was taking. And in a very, very serious sense, the most serious sense of all, he was willing to get out of the way. Willing that he should be dispensable in the work of God. In some ways, a chilling thought. Chilling because, thank God, few, if any of us in this cathedral are called to martyrdom like that. But Archbishop Romero reminds us of what it is that makes the church live. He had plunged into the very heart of the life of the body of Christ by very gradually and rather reluctantly coming to see that he had to stand alongside those who were being brutalized and harassed and murdered by an unjust militaristic government. He knew that he had to stand where Christ stood, to stand where the vulnerable, the crucified Christ stood, with vulnerable, crucified people. In his teaching and his witness, and in that final offering of his life, he made the church possible. Not because he was Oscar Romero, the brilliant, charismatic preacher, the great servant of the poor, the great witness, but because he took a deep breath of the Holy Spirit and said to God, "If you ask me, I will step aside. If you ask me, I will give over the church and your people trustfully into your hands." He made the church possible in a new way, and his memory and his story continue to make the church a possible place to inhabit for many people. And that, of course, is a very significant, a very central part of what a holy life means. If we are ever in doubt that the church is possible, we can say confidently, well, there are lives that made it possible. There are lives of such generosity and such sacrifice that they make room for you because they made room for God. They got out of the way and got on with it. Now, of course, when we think about the saints, whether St. David or Oscar Romero, we tend to think of exceptional people, very often people in the hierarchy of the church, because the hierarchy of the church, in a rather counterintuitive way, is heavily overrepresented among the saints. That is, the acknowledged saints. But we are all of us called to be saints. And let nobody imagine that they have no responsibility to make the church happen. We are all in this. We are all responsible for making the church trustworthy and credible and real. If we, each one of us, are willing to get out of the way and get on with it. If we are willing to point constantly to the infinite generosity of God away from ourselves. If we are ready, day after day, to do what David and Oscar Romero did, and to say to God, "I trust you. I trust you with your church. I trust you with your God. I seek to empty myself in prayer and love so that you will be real and make the church real and make the world whole and just." So when we think of David or Oscar or any of the other figures who have perhaps for most of us featured at some point in making the church credible and lovable, we need also to think of ourselves and how we make the church credible and lovable. Not by making ourselves loved and lovable and popular, but by making God's love visible and powerful, by giving people cause to be grateful for the church and cause to rejoice. Because, finally, that is the gift of the saints. They make us glad of the church. Glad for what God has done in calling a people to be his own, in realizing on earth the body of his beloved Son. We have cause to be glad. And when we come at this Holy Eucharist into the fellowship of all the saints, the whole company of heaven, we come in that gladness, affirming here and now, the church has been made possible. The church is real today. The promise of God is potent, wonderful, and joyful, tomorrow and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.